helping me. I got an email this week, and it was from a couple, and they wanted to take the time to thank us. They live in Knoxville, a husband and wife that's been listening to the sermons online. And they said that it would take too long of an email to explain how much that meant to them and how they've grown over the last few months. And they're following us Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night online all the way from Knoxville. And you know, sometimes it gets a little bit rough. I mean, for a pastor, this whole thing, it's just difficult. You know, because I feel like I'm spinning my wheels, and you know, I mean, because you're used to helping people, you know, and you know, you think you're over it, and then you know it gets crazy again, and you know, but God's bigger than us, and you know, I just thought that was neat that somebody all the way in Knoxville, and they wanted me to thank Helenwood Baptist Church for doing that, you know, and making that available to them. So who knows, you know, who might can find that online and gain some help from that. And that was encouraging this week. And just thankful for that testimony. Miss Heather, if you want to come sing, and then Brother Kurt, after that, we'll turn you loose.
There's a light in the window. Table set in splendor, someone standing by an open door. I can see the crystal river, so I must be near forever. Lord, I've never been this home sick before. See the bright light shine, it's just about home. Door. This world has been a wilderness. I'm ready for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before.
Amen. Yeah,
good.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that with us. You know, if they had a rapture button and I could hand you that and said, all you got to do is push it, And that'll activate the rapture. Would you do that this morning? You know, now, part of me would say, I probably wouldn't, only because I know that there's people that aren't saved and what that would mean. But I'll tell you this. If some part of you doesn't want to get out of here onto something better, then I would definitely look inside and ask yourself what's wrong. Right? I mean, that ought to be, I see the bright, can you imagine when you do get to see the bright light shine? You know, it's just about home time. If Abraham said that he searched for a country whose builder and maker was God, and that they were pilgrims and strangers. If he said that how many thousands of years ago, when you look out there, do you not feel like a stranger? I mean, I don't even identify with the country that I live in anymore. All right? I mean, and this world, if it's your home, you can have it. You know, I don't want it. I mean, why would you want to hold on to this that's temporal when you have something heavenly? It's just in our mind. And we think about, we're so attached, like Lot's wife. Lot's wife, they said, what a strange command. Don't look back. It wasn't, hey, don't do drugs. Don't smoke pot. You know, don't sleep around. He told her, don't look back. Isn't that a strange command to ask somebody to do that? You're thinking, what's the big deal with that, right? Because, see, that indicated where her heart was. I mean, she looked back home. He said, well, you know what? If that's where your heart is, you can stay right here. And she did. You know, our heart shouldn't be here. And if you can't see that, if you can't see over the horizon into something better and long for that, I mean, that doesn't mean you have to go jump out in front of a bus. But if you can't see that, then I would question what's in there. You know, because there ought to be something pulling you the other direction. There ought to be a longing for that heavenly city, the New Jerusalem, coming out from the Father like a bride adorned for her husband. That ought to pull us a little bit. Amen. Thank you, Heather, for that. One quick announcement. Tuesday, 6 o'clock, we're going to meet. It'll either be over at the Parsonage or here. We're going to begin building those crates for Africa. If you have some blankets, some clothes, things your kids outgrew, things you don't use anymore, even jackets, any of that stuff, we'll use that to pack around the computers. If you just bring them, you can put them out there. We'll get them downstairs, and we'll just need that for Tuesday. Okay, Brother Kirk, come sing for us, and then the pulpit's yours. Here, I'll turn this lapel mic on again for you. I forget, you don't need that. I thought, even though I know that he's blind, he said, can I just stand here? And I thought, well, not if you move around. And I figured, well, he's not going to do that.
All right, I enjoyed that song. That was a blessing. I'll do a few songs. This one is Prince of Peace. I was thinking about all the places the world says you can find peace in a bottle and a pill and a new relationship. Fame and fortune. I tried that one, but I never could get that one. Fame and fortune, I never achieved that one. But anyway, all those things sometimes can leave you empty and without peace. Then one day I realized, if you want to get peace, talk to the Prince of Peace. Amen. I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And that best interpretation of that verse I've ever heard is, pray. Just tell him what's troubling you. Have you tried to find peace in a new relationship? Have you tried to find peace in popularity? Have you tried to find peace in a dollar bill? Have you tried to find peace in vanity? Have you tried to find peace in a bottle or a pill just to wake up face to face with your reality? Talk to the Prince of Peace till your fears and worries cease. Talk to the Prince of Peace, he can calm the raging sea. Talk to the Prince of Peace. Get down on your knees. Tell him your every need. Talk to the Prince of peace. Have you tried to find peace with God by working a little more, by being a better person than you ever have before? Have you searched in vain, trying to find heaven's door? The secret is written in His Word. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Talk to the Prince of Peace till your fears and worries cease. Talk to the Prince of Peace, He can calm the raging sea. Talk to the Prince of Peace, get down on your knees, tell Him your every need. Talk to the Prince of Peace. Talk to the Prince of Peace.
Another old one we used to sing back in New Orleans a lot, called Hello Mama. True story about a young man with rebellious. Bought him a Harley, headed for California to join the Hells Angels. But he had a praying mama. Mamas just keep praying. Amen. It works. And she kept praying. He got under conviction one day so bad he laid down his motorbike, used it for an altar, and got saved, and he found a phone. It was before the days of cell phones. He found a phone and called his mom and told her what happened. Amen. His friend wrote this song about his life. Hello, Mama. I just called to tell you all those tears you shed for me, they were not in vain. Something happened tonight while traveling down a country road. I thought that you should be the first to know that I am not the same. Now all those dreary days, they're are past, and all those prayers that you have prayed for so long, they're answered now at last. For I'm not the boy that I used to be. Mama, you can sleep tonight, for I found Jesus. Now everything's all right. I remember how every night before you'd go to sleep, I'd hear you pray the Lord my soul to keep, that I might find the way.
I'm so thankful. Through all my loneliness and those wasted years, Mama, those prayers kept ringing in my ears every night and day. Now all those dreary days, they're over now. The sleepless nights are past, and all those prayers that you have prayed for so long, they're answered now at last. For I'm not the boy that I used to be. Mama, you can sleep tonight, for I found Jesus. Now everything's all right. It's all right.
Here's one. We had several back in about 2014, I think it was. We had seven friends and loved ones, cousins, uncles, aunts, friends, preachers' wives. Seven of our friends died in about a four-week period, and I kept trying to comfort them with this saying. A friend of mine said, actually, it was Brother David Knows, the man that said this, Brother Seavers, up in Pennsylvania. He said, I thought of it this way. When my dad died, 1,000 years on earth is only one day in heaven. So if you break 1,000 years up into 24 pieces, like a day is broken up, that's about 40 years is 1 hour. 40 years is 1/24th of 1,000. So we only live a couple of hours here on the eternal clock. We're only here for a couple of hours. So that means we'll be home in a few more minutes. So I kept trying to comfort people with that saying, and I thought, well, I'll just put it in a song, and then they can buy the CD. No, I wanted to put it in a song to be a blessing, and it's called Strangers Passing Through. The first verse is about a friend of ours. His wife was dying. She couldn't speak. She had cancer and she couldn't speak, but she kept pointing up to the ceiling and counting with her four fingers, pointing and counting to four. And we finally realized she's counting angels that were there to get her. And then the second verse is about Dale's uncle. At that time, we lost all those loved ones. We were at the funeral home burying a friend of ours, and then went straight to the nursing home where her uncle was. He had this big baby, or not baby boo, but sky blue eyes open. Couldn't hear, couldn't see, couldn't talk, unresponsive, didn't know we were in the room, so we left after a few minutes. My sister-in-law went back a few days later, same scenario, couldn't talk. Didn't know she was there. And then all of a sudden, she said he started talking to his mama, which has been in heaven for 30 years. So he was seeing over into heaven. So anyway, hope this is a blessing.
Mama pointed up and counted to four. She could see the angels gathering to take her to heaven's shore. She walked through the valley of the shadow of death. She entered the holy city as she breathed her last breath. And we're just strangers passing through. this old world, no, we don't belong. We're just strangers passing through this old world. In a few more minutes, we'll be home. Daddy was unresponsive. The nurses said it would be soon. He didn't even notice that we were standing in his room. He started talking to Mama. That's when we knew he was hearing voices from heaven, and he'd be home soon. And we're just strangers passing through this old world. No, we don't belong. We're just strangers passing through this old world. In a few more minutes, we'll be home. On God's eternal time, 1,000 years is just one day. Our life is just a vapor that swiftly goes away. So if your heart is broken over loved ones who have gone, in just a few more minutes, all God's children will be home. We're just strangers passing through this old world. No, we don't belong. We're just strangers passing through this old world. In a few more minutes, we'll be home. Trust Jesus as your Savior, and you'll never walk alone. And when you step on heaven's shore, you'll be forever home. 'Cause we're just strangers passing through this old world. No, we don't belong. We're just strangers passing through this old world. In a few more minutes, we'll be home.
Is that enough, preacher? You want more or less?
If you get another one, sing that one again.
Sing it again?
Yeah. Well, I'll give you just a second.
Okay.
So Heather sings a song. You wouldn't have picked that song. He might not have done that one. But he picked that one because when you sang that song, it made me think of something, and then he picks up on that. I don't know about you. I want to hear him preach. But literally, I could have gone to that altar right then. I mean, it made my heart full. You know? I mean, I guess we struggle with this reality here. And what that just did, just made it real. I mean, can you imagine a dad with Alzheimer's, it's not coherent, and all of a sudden it's time for him to go home, and he's starting to get a little bit of his senses back. See, that's reality. I mean, that's not make-believe. You know, it's sad when Christ isn't real to people who call him Christ. Sing that one more time and you come preach to us.
Okay.
Mama pointed up and counted to four. She could see the angels gathering to take her to heaven's shore. She walked through the valley of the shadow of death. She entered the holy city as she breathed her last breath. And we're just strangers passing through this old world. No, we don't belong. We're just strangers passing through this old world. In a few more minutes, we'll be home. Daddy was unresponsive. The nurses said it would be soon. He didn't even notice that we were standing in his room. He started talking to Mama. That's when we knew he was hearing voices from heaven, and he'd be home soon. And we're just strangers passing through this old world. No, we don't belong. We're just strangers passing through this old world. In a few more minutes, we'll be home. On God's eternal time, 1,000 years is just one day. Our life is just a vapor that swiftly goes away. So if your heart is broken over loved ones who have gone, just a few more minutes, all God's children will be home. And we're just strangers passing through this old world. No, we don't belong. We're just strangers passing through this old world. In a few more minutes, we'll be home. Trust Jesus as your Savior, and you'll never walk alone. When you step on heaven's shore, you'll be forever home. 'Cause we're just strangers passing through this old world. No, we don't belong. We're just strangers passing through this old world. In a few more minutes, we'll be home.
if you have your Bibles, John 14. And we are got a lot of good memories with Brother David. Glad the Lord let us cross paths again. And you'll be glad to know I was up in Maryland, Ocean City, Maryland, the other day, and we went to All You Can Eat Blue Crabs. And the guy sitting across from me told me step by step how to do it. So I did my own crabs, so don't you tell that story anymore. I can break open a blue crab now and pick, they call it picking. I can pick some crab meat. John 14:16, and I will mention we packaged some of our older CDs. They call them vintage, retro, but there's the ones from years ago. From starting in the 80s, we started recording, and then 90s, and on about fixed to make a 40th year anniversary CD. So that tells you how old I am. But we packaged up four of the older ones in a Made in America beautiful rubber band for $20 for four. And then the newer ones are five for $35. And if you want all of them, we'll give them all to you for $50, all nine. And if you want the new one, it's not in the bundle. The new one is $10. So you get them all for $60, that'll save you $40. And it reminds me of that story of this man. He was wanting to take a helicopter ride, and his wife said, no, that's $50, it's years ago. $50 is $50. So man, he got up on in his 60s, and he still wanted to take a helicopter ride. No, $50 is $50. His wife wouldn't let him. So they was at Pigeon Forge, and they saw the helicopter there, and they was arguing. And I want to take a helicopter ride. I'm in my 80s. And the pilot said, well, I'll tell you what, if y'all can go up and not say one word, I'll take you up, and I won't charge you anything. So they got in. They was all excited. Finally, he gets to take his helicopter ride. And the pilot did every trick in the book to make him scream, every turn and trick and dido. And he finally landed and said, I got to give it to y'all. Man, I tell you what, I did every trick in the book to make y'all scream and say something, and you didn't say a word. And old Marv said, well, I started to say something when Ethel fell out. But after all, $50 is $50. So all y'all know some penny pinchers. You know, I've written a song on dogs, and I've written a song on cats now, and then I wrote a song about the split in the church, drama queens. Three funny songs, and I think my next one's going to be on crabs. Crabby people, amen. John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. And notice that word comforter means, it's a Greek word parakletos, which means one called alongside of to help. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. In verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. Now that word comes from a word which means orphans. And that's comforting if you've lost a parent. I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, your mercy. Thank you for the sweet spirit of the service and the people and the singing. Father, we pray you'd bless now as we try to preach. Help us to step out of the way and let you do the teaching, the preaching, the convicting, the convincing, and the saving, and the comforting. Lord, whatever the need may be, I pray you'd meet the needs to whoever's listening. And Father, help us to say only the words you'd have us to say, only the illustrations you'd have us to say. Help us not to be in the flesh, Father. And Lord, fill us a fresh flow and give hope to your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Job says, man is born unto trouble as the sparks flyeth upward. So that means trouble is always going to be here. We heard a man just recently opened a paper from the 1960s, early 1960s, and he read it, and this was 60 years ago, and fear gripped my heart, and I thought, why am I afraid? Why am I afraid of the news 60 years ago? And when he closed the paper, he said, nothing's changed. It's the same thing. Today, it's just like it was then. And you know why? Because man is born under trouble. There will always be wars and rumors of wars. There will always be trouble and pestilence, disease, famine. Before Jesus comes back, he said it's going to be worse and worse. Pestilence, disease, famine, war, and all these things are trouble. And, you know, some religions, and you'll get who I'm talking about, so I won't be ugly and call somebody's name. I'd never do that. Unless you ask me. But anyway, some people say, well, everything that happens is God's will. No, that you've got to think a little, you've got to separate those thoughts a little bit. It's not God's will for a man to get in a car, get drunk, and kill innocent families. That's not God's will. It's not God's will for a parent to abuse his family and leave them. It's not God's will for a person to get in a car and start texting while they're driving and run over innocent people. We could go on and on. I'm just trying to make a point. Not everything that happens is God's will. Sometimes it's because of sin, the world, the flesh, the devil, and sin causes a lot of our trouble. So we can't say that God causes all things, but we can say that he is a present help in trouble. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And he's a permanent helper. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Your parents may leave you. Your spouse may leave you. But he will never leave you. He'll not leave you comfortless. Amen. He'll help you. That's what we're going to talk about a few minutes here. How he'll help us. He helps the sinner to be saved. John 16:8, and when he has come, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He'll reprove, he'll convince the sinner that he's a sinner. I was raised in a religion, and I thought I was okay. I thought I was a child of God because I was a member of that church. I didn't realize you have to be born again. Amen? But I thought I'm okay. But there was an English teacher that quoted a half of a verse in a secular school, and I don't even know if the English teacher was saved. But he just said, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And as a teenage boy, I thought I was pretty good because I'm a religion. And all of a sudden when he quoted that, a light bulb came on in my heart, and I thought I saw my soul, the filth and the sin and the corruption that was in my heart all of a sudden. For the first time I saw that I was a sinner. He convinced me. The Holy Spirit did that. He convinces the world that they're sinners. And then he convinces the world of righteousness. Jesus is the only righteous one. He's the one that was rich in righteousness and came down and died to pay for our salvation and rose again. Amen? And he is the righteous one, but he gives righteousness. He imputes righteousness. The bankers know that impute means to put in somebody's account. And we that were bankrupt, when I realized, hey, I'm bankrupt in righteousness. My religion's not getting it. My religion's not good enough. My good works are not good enough. I'm a filthy sinner. Then all of a sudden, when I asked him to save me, he imputed his righteousness into my account and took all of my sin and put it in his account and said, paid in full. Asking and receiving. Prayer is asking and receiving. You ask God to save you and give you his righteousness, and he does it. Amen? Amen. Then he will reprove the world of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Judgment. We had been kidnapped. We were kidnapped by Satan. The Bible says he kidnapped us. God created us. Satan kidnapped us. And Jesus redeemed us. He paid the ransom with his death, burial, and resurrection. That was the ransom paid for sin. And now it's your choice. You have to make the decision. Do you want to live the rest of your life with a murderer, a thief? The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, the kidnapper. Or do you want to go with the one that loves you? He said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. You have to make the choice. Do you want to live your life with the one that loves you or with the murderer, the devil? Heaven or hell, it's your choice when you ask him to save you. Amen? He will help the sinner to be saved. He'll help us after we get saved to serve him. He'll help us with our service. Acts 1:8, I love this verse. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. You say, how can we do that? How does Brother David go to Africa and do that? The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit empowers us to do what we do. And we don't have to try in our own strength. We can live in his strength. Amen. He helps us to serve him. He directs our service. When Paul was wanting to go into Asia, he was going into Asia and the Holy Spirit forbid him. He would not allow him to go into Asia. And he had a dream that night and saw a man saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. God redirected him. God directs us. The Holy Spirit directs our service. He empowers our service. Amen?
Amen.
He helps us with our suffering. Over here in Colossians 1:11, I love this verse. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. How do we get through the trials of life? By his amazing strength. His amazing strength. I've heard so many stories, even of Christians, that when they lost a loved one, tragically lost a loved one, they turned to the bottle to try to numb the pain. They turned to alcohol. They turned to drugs to try to numb the pain. And they end up losing everything because they become alcoholics. They destroy their health. One man said his daughter was killed in the Oklahoma bombing. And he said he almost destroyed his life with alcohol. He would drink till he passed out. And then he'd wake up the next day face to face with that pain. And he tried to drown it with alcohol. And finally said, I'm killing myself. And he got help. He turned to God, got saved. And it was arranged for him to meet the parents of Timothy McVeigh. Went to their house and wept together. They wept together. And he began his journey of forgiveness. Wasn't easy, but God strengthened him to forgive. Amen. God can strengthen us in the pain of life. So sometimes the pain of life is overwhelming, and I'm already thinking, how are we going to deal with this, the loss of loved ones through this pandemic, when our loved ones begin to, and our friends begin to die with it. But God can strengthen us through that. He can strengthen us. He'll help us with our pain. He'll help us when we're struggling, when we're suffering, when we're struggling to get along with people. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Sometimes we're impatient with people because we see their faults instead of seeing their gifts. I know I get impatient and I want people to be, we think people ought to be in this little cookie cutter and they ought to be, but people are growing. People are at different levels of spiritual growth and some are gifted with gifts that we don't even realize. They said that Einstein used to say this, that if you judge a fish by how well it can climb a tree, it might feel stupid all of its life. Amen. If you judge a fish by how well it can climb a tree, it'll feel stupid all of its life because that's not its gift. They said that Einstein's teachers
thought he was retarded. They failed to see the gift. They saw the glass half empty instead of half full. Amen. He'll help us to get along with people. He strengthens us and helps us. He helps us to be patient with people. And sometimes we fail the test, but he never does. And in some people, you just have to get away from. Some people will destroy your life. You cannot hang around certain people. There was a boy in Chicago that every day after school, the gangs would come and beat him up. And he was either going to have to become a murderer or do something. He had to make a decision. They were killing him. And his parents made a wise decision, moved out of Chicago, moved out of the state, and moved to a safe place and invested their time with that boy. And he grew up to become a great person because there's sometimes you just got to get away from people. They'll destroy your life. Somebody said if people are critical and they are controlling, critical, controlling, and contentious, that is a Pharisee. Stay away from them. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus had to stay away from the Pharisees. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Stay away from them. They'll hurt you. He'll help you. The Holy Spirit will help you to get along with people when you're struggling. He'll help you in your marriage. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Bible's saying wine will not help your marriage. Getting drunk will not help your marriage. Getting stoned will not help your marriage, but the Holy Spirit will help you. We had a friend of ours, he said he was up in the mountains of Virginia, and there was a couple fighting in the church, so he went to the house. The first thing the man said, preacher, if she ain't trying, I ain't trying. And if she don't try, she ain't sleeping in my bed and she ain't eating at my table. So the pastor thought, man, I don't have the answer for this one. So he went home and he prayed and he called the man back, said, Jim, I can't help you with your marriage. He said, why? He said, because you've got to be willing to do right. Even if nobody else does right, nobody in the whole world does right, you have to be willing to do right. He said, what kind of pastor would I be if I said, I'm never going to read my Bible again because you people won't read your Bible? And Jim said, well, you wouldn't be much of a pastor. He said, well, that's right. You got to be willing to do right if nobody else does right. And he said, well, if she ain't trying, I ain't trying. And this pastor said, well, quit trying and start trusting the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And at his funeral, at Jim's funeral, he didn't die the next day. His wife didn't kill him. But at his funeral, years later, his wife told the pastor, said that from that day forward, that was the most godly man I ever met, I have ever known. Why? Because he began to let the Holy Spirit help him in his marriage. Amen. He'll help you to strengthen you to be more Christ-like. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I didn't write the next verse, but the next verse said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Some religions teach the way to be more Christ-like is to take more communion, because the communion turns into the body of Christ inside of you. They actually believe that. And you can eat so much communion till you look like the Pillsbury Doughboy. It's not going to help you to be more Christ-like. You got to be born again first, and then the Holy Spirit dwells in you.
Amen.
And he's the one that empowers us to be anything we are. Anything we are by the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll help us in our sickness. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Did you know the Holy Spirit's praying for us right now?
Amen.
He's praying for us. And in our spiritual and physical and emotional sickness, he's praying. He directs. He comforts. He provides. He heals. He heals. Amen. Remember when we found out last time we were here, we thought we might have prostate cancer. The day I found out I did, my pastor called and said, my brother-in-law, we didn't know what to do. The doctor didn't give us any options in the county where we were. We thought, we're not going to that doctor. And he gave us one option that we didn't want. So we were praying. Pastor calls and my brother-in-law is he's over or actually assist with that operation that you need at Duke University. I'm gonna get him to call you. My pastor's from Virginia, so I gotta throw his accent in there. I'm gonna get him to call you. I said, yeah, right, like a doctor from Duke is gonna call me. A few hours later, his brother-in-law called and he said, I'm gonna turn your name. First he said, I'm gonna call the surgeon and talk to him. Then he called back and said, I'm gonna put your name in the office. I didn't even have to make a decision. It was like somebody picked me up and carried me to Duke University. It was the everlasting arms, amen? It was God praying for us and went there and took care of that and everything turned out good, amen? He's praying for us even in our sickness. He's praying for us in our sorrow. Even in our sorrow, he gives hope. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. The word abound means to pour out like a river. God said, I'm going to fill you with so much hope that you're going to pour out hope. You're going to go around this world pouring out hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we get hope. Amen. Hal Lindsey said, man can live 40 days without food. He can live 3 days without water. He can live 8 minutes without air, but not 1 second without hope. We have to have hope. Amen. The hope of salvation, Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, all of our sins, and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Our hope is not in the government. Our hope is not in good works. Our hope is in the gospel. Amen. There's hope for salvation. There's hope for the saints that are grieving the loss of a loved one. 1 Thessalonians 5:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that are going on to heaven, is talking about, that ye sorrow not even as those that have no hope. We have hope. We'll see them again. There's hope for this body. Right now we have an old earthly body. It's falling apart. It starts to die the day it's born. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:40, there are also celestial bodies. That's a heavenly body. It's a different type of body. It's going to last forever, billions and billions of years, without a knee replacement, without a tooth replacement, without an ear replacement or an eye replacement. Amen? It's going to last billions and billions of years, a heavenly body. All of you, some of you would... You just wish somebody would walk up to you and say, you have a heavenly body. Well, in heaven you will. Amen. Then the sting of death. There's hope concerning the sting of death. 1 Corinthians 15:55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? There was a little boy. He was in the truck with his grandpa, driving down the road, and this little bee kept flying around him and scaring him to death. So the grandpa caught the bee and he held it for a little while, and then he let it go. And the little boy started swatting at it, and he was afraid. He could see the fear on his face, and he said, son, you don't have to worry about that bee. He's only got one stinger, and I've got it right here in my hand. Grandpa took that stinger so that bee wouldn't harm his grandson. And Jesus took the sting of death in his body on the cross. Amen. So that we don't have to worry about it anymore. We have victory over the grave and over death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He'll help you to have hope in the midst of sorrow. He'll give us hope. It was Hudson Taylor, who was a missionary to China, and his kids said that he was restless, toiling in the ministry, worried, fretting, toiling, restless, no peace. And then he realized one day that the Holy Spirit was there to help him, and he became fruitful and peaceful and restful and powerful. And they said his philosophy became, he wrote his philosophy down, Christ received, his holiness begun. Christ cherished, his holiness advancing. And last of all, number three, Christ depended upon as always ever present to help you with every need, is holiness complete. When you depend upon him and know that he's there to help you with every worry, every problem, every decision, he's there to help you. He's the comforter. He's the one they call the Paracletus, the one called alongside of to help. He'll help you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, your mercy. Lord, seal this message in our heart. And Lord, bless all those that listen. If there's one lost, save them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Miss Jenny, if you come real quick, if you just stand, we're going to have a quick...